This time on Culture File, Brian Jackson, the pianist and composer whose long-term collaboration with Gil Scott-Heron left behind some of the 1970s most politically potent and enduring records. Gil Scott-Heron died in 2011, but Jackson is still recording and performing and coming to this year's Cork Jazz Festival. The first album the pair recorded together was 1971's Pieces of a Man, a title that Jackson, as socially concerned as ever, also used as the title of a podcast he made, highlighting the plight of death row inmate Keith Lamar, as Brian Jackson told Culture File.
My wife had come across an article about how to survive solitary time during the pandemic, and it was written by a man named Keith Lamar.
Jagged jigsaw pieces.
Turns out that Keith was incarcerated. He was in prison for at the time, almost 30 years for a crime that once we read his book, we realized that he couldn't have possibly committed. And we got kind of involved in trying to figure out what we could do, to help. And we got in touch with him. I got in touch with him and we started having meetings and we became friends. He's such a great speaker and such an articulate person that I thought this would be, it just so it coincided with my intention to start a podcast because I like to talk.
Each week, we look at the lies we're uncovering and the truths we are constantly discovering that help us to extract the splinters of society from our minds. This podcast is about music, justice, and everything in between.
But at the same time, it made people aware of this great injustice that, you know, that it had taken place on Keith's behalf. And just, you know, just briefly, there was a riot and some inmates were killed. There were a few people who were identified as being responsible for those murders. One of the people that they identified was Keith. All of them copped a plea, you know, in other words, they said they were guilty in exchange for decreased time. But Keith, being young, believed in the justice system and believed that if I'm not guilty, you know, why should I make a plea deal? Well, this is kind of the wrong, you know, approach, even though it's right, because they punished him for it. He was punished for, you know, for taking up the resources of the system and making people do their jobs. And, you know, and there was no way he got a fair trial. In fact, most of the exonerating evidence was withheld from him during the trial, which is obviously illegal. So he got that unfair trial, but he was sentenced to life in prison, and later on sentenced to be executed. And so he's been on death row now for over 30 years. He is a fan of music. He has records, CDs. They don't let him have records. I mean, I don't know, maybe the edges are too sharp or something. I mean, the prison system is just like it's unbelievably cruel. So we only had that one season, but it's a good one. It's a good one. And I recommend anybody who is interested, you know, in learning more about Keith to tune into some of our animated discussions. We had a good time.
I was listening to your story about a cardboard keyboard, and I was thinking, oh, you know, you could have one of those that sort of rolled up in your cell. tell us the story of the cardboard keyboard.
So I wanted to play. I was bothering my mom for years to play music. My first wish was drums. And we lived in a small apartment, and, you know, that was instantly vetoed.
This is in Brooklyn.
This was in Brooklyn, New York. I started badgering my mom from the time I was 5 years old to take lessons. And by the time I was seven, she finally gave in and let me take lessons with the woman who had taught her. And she was not a jazz teacher. She had gone to school for classical music at Spelman College in the South. But she agreed to take me on. And she told me that, you know, she would help me go as far as I could. She gave me my first lesson to play five notes of the C major scale. And she said, well, go home and practice. And we'll come back next week and we'll see how you did. And I was very excited. I was, okay, I'm going to practice. And I walked out the door and I stopped at the steps and I turned around and I said, but I don't have a piano. And she said, oh, I got something for you. So she goes back and she gets this little folded up cardboard, piece of cardboard, and she unfolds it and she says, You see these notes? These are the notes that you have to play. You put your finger on each one of these as if it was a piano, a key on the piano, and you can practice that way. And I was so excited. And I practiced every day, you know, and when I came back, I was able to complete the lesson. It was actually heaven to actually hear a sound connected with the pressing of that key. You know, I think that was a fascinating thing to me. This went on for a few months until one day I came home and I saw this huge piece of furniture in the living room, and it turned out that it was a little spinet piano.
From Brooklyn, you went to Pennsylvania to college, which is where you met Gil Scott-Heron.
That's right. That's where I met Gil.
Gil had already, he was a published poet at the time.
He was already a published poet. He had written a book of poetry called Small Talk at 125th and Lenox. It was a great work. You know, it was actually inspired, in my view, from some of the work of the works of Langston Hughes and of County Cullen, Gwendolyn Brooks, and so many other great great poets of the age, Sonia Sanchez. Yeah, so yeah, he had already had this book. There was a talent show. One of the seniors was a singer, and he had intended to enter the talent show and happened to hear me playing one day in one of the practice rooms. And he came up to me and he said, "Hey man, you sound pretty good. I wonder, you know, can you play God Bless the Child?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I know it." And I said, "Well, you're just doing one song?" He said, "No, I'm doing two. And there's another song that's written by this guy, and I know, a friend of mine." He said, "Oh, he's right next door. You want to meet him?" And so he comes in, this guy with this big fro, and he's like kind of mumbling under his breath, you know, like, "Hey, how you doing, man? I'm good." And he sits down and he plays his song that's called Peace. And you can hear that song when you hear it. Just imagine me hearing that for the first time in that little practice room, and you'll see what I experienced. You'll understand what I experienced. Tell me where can a man find peace? Tell me which way
Brian Jackson there, and he'll be playing at Cork Jazz Festival as part of a gig called Celebrating Alice Coltrane, and we'll hear more about that in the second part of that conversation next time on Culture File.